He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers beating the Spurs. They are on a new winning streak here. After losing four in a row, they have now won two in a row and now sit at 42-25. The Spurs are incredibly shorthanded. And this was a game that the Lakers needed to win. So they picked up that win. We'll talk about the result here. We'll talk about what we saw from this game. We'll talk about Luka looking like Luka. We'll talk about Austin, even more importantly, looking like Austin. And things kind of sort of shaping up for a team that I don't think very many teams are going to want to face in the postseason. So we'll talk about that. We'll get you guys' questions in and respond to those as well. And enjoy this nice, comfortable St. Patrick's Day night. By the way, everybody here who are in the live comment section, and you can find that comment section on youtube.com/@LakersLounge. But everybody here that went through a St. Patrick's Day getting pinched, salute. Hats off. The Dodgers play here in about like 5 hours or so. Salute to everybody who went through it, did things the right way, didn't wear green, because we do not wear green in this house. I got pinched multiple times by my daughter. Multiple times by my wife, took Jen out. We like Jen for whatever reason. She's not even Irish, but she really likes St. Patrick's Day. It's been a staple of our relationship. We went out for dinner, had a car bomb, and do what we do every year where we go out for dinner. The grandparents watch the kids. This year was a little bit different, obviously, because I had to come back home and watch a Laker game. Jen knocked out on the couch, so it looked a little different than it normally did. But got pinched when I was out at the restaurant for not wearing green then. Got pinched here at the house for not wearing green throughout the day. And you know what? Totally worth it. We do not wear green in the Irwin household. So those of you who went through that as well and are wearing those battle scars, show them to us. You know, wear those pinch marks, those bruises, as badges of honor. But yeah, let's go ahead and dive on in to the show here and start with just an overall look at how nice it is to win comfortably, even when the Lakers aren't 100%. All right, so we'll look at the minutes disbursement in this one, and I think it tells a pretty good story. So Vando, again, plays 15 minutes. He got thrown out because he and Jeremy Sochan picked up fighting technicals. That was a weird situation there. It's just hard to take a guy particularly seriously when he's like trying to look menacing with pink hair. But Sochan gets thrown out. Vando gets thrown out. Vando finishes the night with 15 minutes. Hasn't made a three in the last few games. Christian Koloko played 9 minutes in this one. Shake Milton played 7. Dalton played 20. And Gabe Vincent played 28 minutes in this game. The Lakers were able to get through this one. Jordan Goodwin played 33 minutes. He started, which I thought was interesting. I think that signals to me that J.J. Redick is kind of moving, because Gabe had been starting a little bit off and on. But Gabe moves to the bench, and that I think prepares him to get ready to go back to his kind of normal role, which indicates to me that Rui Hachimura is on his way back. JJ Redick said that Rui is playing three on threes now to start getting ready to make his return to the game or to his starting gig. And then LeBron, you know, continues to do some of his like pregame workout stuff and is still day to day. So I thought it was interesting that Gabe moved back to the bench. Vando moves to the bench. Dorian did start, which the Lakers do still need him there in that starting group. And he went 4 of 8 from 3-point range in this one. Good to see some progression to the mean from DFS. But yeah, I think the Lakers are kind of starting to like, you know how when you're, well, nowadays it's a little different because airplane flights are a lot less predictable. But normally, when you're on a plane and you enter your final descent, and then certainly when you see the airport that you're about to land into, you can feel the wheels come down from underneath the plane. And I think that's kind of sort of where the Lakers are right now, where the wheels are now down and they are trying to land this plane and figure out what seating they're actually going to be. But the biggest thing is they want that landing to be as ready as possible so that when it comes time to the postseason, you know, everything is kind of ready to go when that plane touches down. And, you know, Gabe moving back to the bench, and Austin looking the way that he is looking, and Luka looking the way that he is looking. Those are really positive signs, I think, here for the Lakers. And, you know, like, yeah, the Lakers gave up the lead a little bit here. They let go of the rope there in the third quarter and somewhat in the fourth quarter. But the biggest thing here for the Lakers is getting healthy, staying healthy, and seeing where the chips are going to fall here heading into the postseason. Let's talk about Austin and Luka, and most specifically Austin. He finishes tonight 36 minutes, 12 of 21 from the field. A nice, efficient night from the field here for Austin. 12 of 21, 5 of 13 from 3-point range. Only shot one free throw in this one. He almost got a tech when the Lakers were up by like 20. I don't know what it's been. I think part of it is that, like, you know, there's a lot of whining going on. I know JJ said before this game that he told the guys to not complain about the calendar heading into the 6-game and 8-nights stretch that they currently find themselves on. I do kind of wonder if at some point JJ is going to tell all of the Lakers, specifically Luka, to maybe chill on the conversations or the pointed conversations with the refs, because the whistle that the Lakers have had since the Luka trade has been pretty brutal. But anyway, Austin finishes with 30 points to go with 7 rebounds and 7 assists. An absolutely stellar game from him. Luka finishes an actually inefficient game. 5 of 20 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3-point range. Did get to the free throw line 13 times and make 10 of those. He finishes 21 points, 9 rebounds, and 14 assists for Luka. Those two guys, though, I think it's really worth noting the tangible steps forward that those guys have made in LeBron's absence. Looks like I misspelled Austin's name here in the Today on the Show. So I will go ahead and fix that on the fly. But yeah, the Luka and Austin combination looking the way that it does, as LeBron, I would imagine, preps to make his return to the court, that is incredibly important. This is a team that is going to rely extremely heavily offensively on especially Luka, obviously, but then also Austin. And I think Austin getting to kind of figure out the way that Luka is wired offensively and now learning to work off of that, LeBron's going to figure out where he belongs in this offense and in the grand scheme of this team. I am not at all worried about LeBron figuring this out. It was like when the Lakers made this Luka trade, my favorite take to kind of make fun of was, man, I sure wonder if Luka and LeBron are going to figure this out. It's like those guys, basketball isn't rocket science. It's not brain surgery. Like those guys are going to be able to figure this out. The connection I was kind of more worried about, for lack of a better term, was Luka and Austin and how well those guys are going to be able to get on the same page. And when LeBron tweaked his groin, and certainly after LeBron appeared like it was a minor tweaked groin here for LeBron, my immediate thought was, you know, and just in terms of silver linings, it might not be the worst thing for the Lakers to rely solely on Luka and Austin figuring things out, and specifically Austin figuring out his place in this offense now that Luka is there. And I think steadily over the last few games, those guys have looked a lot better. Now, I think that obviously greatly coincides with Austin feeling better coming off of that calf strain. He had that move in the first half where he spun around the defender. The defender got his arm kind of stuck in Austin's arm, and Austin was able to kind of unlodge the ball or dislodge the ball and get the ball up on the backboard on the other side of the rim for the and one. And it was like, okay, all right, cool. Austin's back. That's good to see. That is a very important development here. But Austin, you know, learning to trust his body again after that calf strain, which for athletes is a terrible thing to kind of go through because you feel fine everywhere else. But every time you take a step off of that foot, you're like, man, is that my calf or is it my Achilles? Is it my calf or my Achilles? What do I do here? But fortunately here over the last couple of games, Austin doesn't appear to be second guessing his body anymore. And again, that final line of 30 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, and going 5 of 13 from 3-point range. A lot of Austin's 3-pointers also, by the way, were open in this one. And that's going to be something that he's going to have to get reacquainted with. The idea of open three-pointers, because whenever LeBron comes back, he and Luka are going to create open three-pointers for Austin that he's going to have to figure out how to knock down in rhythm when he is not usually particularly comfortable knocking down wide open three-pointers. Normally he's contested shooting somewhat tough three-pointers. When LeBron comes back and when he and Luka are operating with the offense at the level that we know that they can, Austin is going to be that wild card factor that is kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back for those defenses whenever the Lakers play against even good teams. And Austin looking the way that he does, and most importantly, looking the way that he has with Luka over the last couple of games, that is an incredibly important development. The next thing I want to talk about here, and I'm going to kind of pick up on the point that I made the other night or yesterday, because the Lakers played yesterday. But I talked after the Brooklyn game again with Jovan, went on his show, and in that show kind of talked a lot about how not really concerned I was with the state of things at that time. And the number one thing I pointed to was how clearly upset J.J. Redick was with losing that game and how pissed he was with the way that the Lakers played in that one. And I kind of compared it to Darvin Ham's comments from almost exactly a year ago to that date about how Lakers fans don't need to live and die based on the results of their favorite teams. It was a stupid comment to make from Darvin Ham. And according to the sources that I had at the time and maintain, obviously, to this day, the Lakers kind of pulled Darvin aside and was like, yo, no, no, just no. Anyway, so when the Lakers lost to Brooklyn and J.J. Redick hopped on the mic and was like clearly, visibly, and audibly upset with the way that the Lakers played, I kind of said, all right, let's take a step back. And if you guys recall, I held off on recording because I wanted you guys recording that post-game show. Normally, I go as quickly as I possibly can on these shows. But on that night, after the Lakers lost to the Brooklyn Nets, I had seen on Spectrum a couple of clips from J.J. Redick talking about that game. And I was like, I'm not going to go right away. And I'm not going to kill this team after that effort. And the reason being, J.J. Redick is going to say everything that's on our minds anyway. So if you guys recall, I grabbed that video, played that video on the show, and we all watched that together. And since then, since the Lakers lost to that in that Brooklyn Nets game, we have seen a team that is, I think, a lot more aware of the details, not taking those shortcuts, and they have responded really well to that game. So if you guys recall, the Lakers lost to Boston in Boston. And the Lakers were like, that was a game where LeBron tweaked his hammy and wasn't able to finish the game. They played that game without Rui, if you guys recall. So that was the game that broke the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 game winning streak when they lost in Boston. And then the next game after that, they lost to Brooklyn. And that was the one where JJ was really pissed. Now, unfortunately, when they played Milwaukee, they were even more shorthanded, and they lost to Milwaukee going away. But I thought most importantly, Luka being the superstar, I thought Austin looked a little bit better in that one as well. But the Lakers, I thought, responded and were as competitive as you could possibly be, given the state of the roster going into that game. And then they followed that game up with losing to Denver on the last possession, basically. And, so since that Brooklyn loss, the Lakers have, I thought they competed fairly well against Milwaukee, ran into some negative shooting numbers, compared to averages here for the Lakers. And then Milwaukee shot above average from 3-point range, which normally leads to a blowout loss if you're shorthanded. But then they play really well against Denver and lose close there. And then they beat Phoenix, and then now they beat San Antonio here going away. And I just think, like, this is a team that, was called out and has responded in a way that you would like to see them respond if and when they get called out. So we'll see how the game goes Wednesday against Denver. We'll see how that game goes Thursday against Milwaukee. But most importantly here, the Lakers won the two that they absolutely needed to win to get a chance at, rescuing this six-game and eight-game stretch. After they play Denver and Milwaukee, they have a day off, and then they play Chicago. They have another day off, and then they play Orlando, and they have another day off, and they play at Indiana and then Chicago again. So like the Lakers can rip off at least a few wins here and really get back on track. But I don't know if I would have been as confident as I've been over the last few days about the chances that the Lakers would get back on track, if not for JJ's response to losing to Brooklyn, and then the Lakers' response to JJ calling them out for playing. It's one thing to you know, maybe you have a bad shooting night, maybe the other team has a great shooting night, and you just kind of lose. But obviously in that Brooklyn game, a lot went wrong, and the Lakers lost to a team that they had no business losing to, and JJ called them out for it, and they have responded in ways that we would really hope for after their head coach calls them out for taking shortcuts and losing to a team that, again, they had no business losing to. Now, though, you look ahead on the schedule, the Lakers have a day off, and then they get to play against a team that will probably have Nikola Jokic and will probably have this Denver team is coming off of a huge win. They played against the Golden State Warriors without Jokic, and I believe also without Jamal Murray. Yeah, and we're still able to beat the Golden State Warriors in that one. But I would imagine with a day off from now to the Lakers game, Jokic will be ready to go. Murray will be ready to go. Aaron Gordon played the other night against the Lakers and has remained available, played really well in this game with the Nuggets beating the Warriors. So I would imagine he'll also be available. We'll see who all is up and ready to go for that one from the Lakers' perspective. The hope and the optimism is that Rui would be potentially available for that game. If not that one or the Milwaukee game, then certainly it becomes a possibility that he'll play against Saturday on Saturday against the Chicago Bulls. But it is now, you know, reaching that point here. This is the Lakers currently sit at 42-25. That is the 67 game mark. That means the Lakers have 15 games to go from here on out. It is time for the Lakers to really kind of start gearing up. Now, I talked in the last episode here about how the Lakers are going to have to try to find that balance of gearing up for the postseason and getting the reps that they clearly need, but also needing to keep on top of all of the season-long issues or the issues that you run into after a full season of 82 games of NBA basketball. The Lakers are also going to have to keep a very close eye to make sure that they are fully healthy. But this is that time, and I think this Denver-Milwaukee back-to-back is going to be super interesting to watch, because I think the shimmer has worn off of Denver. Clearly Milwaukee beat the crap out of the Lakers, who were incredibly shorthanded, and then specifically were really small against them. So if the Lakers are able to play against Milwaukee this time on home court, where the Lakers role players are going to shoot better and Milwaukee's role players are going to shoot a little bit worse. And then on top of that, the Lakers are going to have a little bit more size to deal with Brook Lopez, who played the game of his season that night against the Lakers when the Lakers lost to them last time. And be able to build that wall in front of the rim when they're taking on Giannis. I think this is the Lakers, I think realistically should be expecting a split for themselves. And we'll see how these games go. And if they're able to get that split, they would now have gone through that that six game an 8-day stretch and go 3-5, which is roughly what we were kind of hoping for. And we'll see how well that game goes against Milwaukee on Thursday, but obviously most importantly, Denver on Wednesday, as Denver will be getting Murray and Jokic back. But this is the time though, where again, you start landing that plane. If you're the Lakers and you try to, kind of land this regular season as smoothly as you can, but then also really importantly, get ready to rush to your next terminal to get onto that plane and get ready to compete in the postseason, because the Western Conference playoffs with Denver looking the way that they have looked, with Golden State looking the way that they have looked, and then with Memphis and Houston and OKC looking the way that they have looked for all of the season, like, these West playoffs are going to be absolutely brutal, and the Lakers are going to have to be as healthy as you can possibly hope for them to be, while also maintaining, you know, a decent seeding going into that postseason stretch. This is, like I said, it's go time. All right, let's go ahead and look through some of your guys's comments and questions here. Omaris Hall saying the Warriors and Minnesota lost. That is good news for the Lakers. Comedian Jordan Haywood saying, how crazy is it that we are getting Max Christie level production from a two-way player? We have to sign him to a multi-year deal while he's cheap. Well, the only issue there is that, like, his agent is aware of the fact that the Lakers are getting, like, Max Christie level production from Goodwin, and I would imagine will, you know, make sure that if the Lakers do sign him to a multi-year deal, that it's at a rate that makes sense for them too. But yeah, Jordan Goodwin has been incredible. I think Kobe Price of the LA News Group asked JJ Redick going into tonight's game about Jordan Goodwin, and asked him about, I think he estimated that Goodwin has about 7 games left in his two-way eligibility, and then, you know, kind of what the Lakers are getting ready for from then on out. Obviously, JJ Redick isn't going to, like, just basically say, yeah, we're going to convert him and eventually we're going to cut Cam Reddish, but we don't want to do it right now because that saves us some dollars. Like, he's going to be a little bit more tactically inclined in that moment than that. But yeah, that is the Lakers' plan as far as I'm told. And, you know, Cam Reddish is pretty unlikely to finish out the season as a Laker as of right now. But Goodwin absolutely has been crushing it in the role that he has been playing. I love his size on the perimeter as a point of attack defender. Great athleticism. And the biggest thing with Goodwin is he's just does not give a bleep. If it is time to stick his face in there to ugly up the game or muddle up the game, then bleep it. That's what he's going to do. And Goodwin has been a nice addition defensively. And then offensively, he's been knocking down some shots too. So, yeah, Jordan with a great point there about how well, you know, Goodwin has been playing after the Lakers traded away Max Christie. Let's keep on going through here. Adam Hurley pointing out that Bronny's average plus minus per game is 0, which is the same as Gabe Vincent. Yeah, surely then that, you know, by that evaluation, surely we're all really comfortable with Bronny James playing in the postseason. look, I think obviously, and I said this months ago, I was not going to talk about Bronny unless I was asked specifically about him or we got a meaningful development in that story. I haven't been asked about him in a long time, which has been nice. And there hasn't really been a meaningful development in the story, seeing as a lot of Bronny's production has taken place in the G League. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, rooting for him to figure it out. And it's really nice that Gabe Vincent is now on at least neutral, given how he started the season. But the Lakers clearly expect more out of Gabe Vincent going into the postseason than they do from Bronny James. All right. Jordan Haywood again. It actually happens a lot. Similar thing happens with Grimes and Bol Bol, even Hayes to an extent. People get a perception of a player and it tends to stick. Oh, this is talking about Bronny and the perception of him early on. Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to talk about that, then I guess we could talk about Jalen Huchefino's recent play too. The thing with Bronny, and it was nice to see him more confidently shoot a three-pointer off of the dribble in tonight's game. Like, the thing with Bronny is he is not big enough to not be skilled offensively. And like, you could go the Gary Payton the second route, but GP2 is significantly better athletically than Bronny is right now. Now, Bronny's athleticism is going to improve over the course of his career. So the hope would maybe be that he turns into GP2, but he is going to have to shoot better than he has to this point in his NBA career. He shoots better in the G League, but everybody does. He is going to have to figure out his handle because he's not going to be big enough to be like a starting shooting guard. So as just a basketball player, I think Omaris makes a point here. If Bronny can eventually become like Caruso, he's not as big as Caruso, but like if you focus all of your energy on just being a Caruso type, a Goodwin type, a GP2 type, a Chris Dunn type, one of those just absolute monsters defensively on the ball at the point of attack, and then allow the rest of your game to kind of grow from there. I think that's the direction that Bronny has to take from here on out. But there's no guarantee that it works out. Even if it doesn't, the 55th pick, most 55th picks don't necessarily work out. So, pulling for Bronny, we'll see where it turns into. My priorities, though, are nowhere near Bronny's development right now, and they have everything to do with the fact with the fact that the Lakers are a championship contender whenever they're healthy. So get healthy, stay healthy, compete for a championship, and then we'll see where the Lakers and Bronny find themselves after the season. Haywood again asks, can we agree that Luka and LeBron as a duo should be called Don King? Don King did like some irreconcilable damage to boxing with like his maneuvering and manipulation of matchups that became kind of the status quo of boxing and has really held back the sport. So I'm not really the biggest fan of Don King. But I see where you're going there. It does roll off the tongue. I just whatever we're going to call that combination, just go out and win me a championship, please. Like, stop the Celtics from potentially winning a championship. Stop these annoying ass Thunder fans from winning a championship. Like, just whatever it takes, just those guys, whatever we're going to call them, optimize that combination and make it so that they can maybe win a championship in the next couple of years. All right. I think that is going to do it here for this relatively shorter episode of the Lakers Lounge. Broncic is pretty good. Orbital Hub. That's better than Don King. I hate Don King. The Lakers win this one against the San Antonio Spurs, 125-109. Luka, just falls short of the triple double. Dorian Finney-Smith, his shot gets back kind of where it needs to be, which is great to see. The Lakers are hoping to get, I guess I didn't really talk much about the injuries, but they're hoping to get Rui back in the next week or so is what the reports are. And I've heard much of the same there with Rui. So the hope is that he will be available here in the next few games or so. LeBron is a little bit more ambiguous. ambiguous. See, now I'm talking like Don King. Ambiguous. No, but the Lakers are hoping to get Rui back in the next few games, and then I would say LeBron is probably just outside that kind of mark there too, which will probably give the Lakers about 10 games or so to really get their rotation order and get themselves playing at the highest level that they can get themselves to heading into the postseason. We'll see where that gets the Lakers in terms of seeding and all of that. But the biggest thing is here, let's see how Denver-Milwaukee go after a nice day off here tomorrow and then heading into Wednesday and Thursday. And yeah, until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.